Infinite Waters Radio. Diving deep, leaving no stone unturned, elevating the soul, exploring the mind, question everything. We are the future.
Greetings, family. Once again, we're diving deep, deep into infinite waters. I'm your host, Ralph Smart, and we have another great show lined up. We have very, very special guest going to be joining us. We have Serena Stone. She's been with us before. She has dived deep into infinite waters. And if it's your first time listening, Serena Stone is the creator of the Inner Radiance, Outer Beauty Natural Health Program. She is a multi-certified Qigong instructor through Universal Healing Tao, a beloved author and internationally renowned speaker on natural health and beauty. Ms. Stone is often consulted on issues of sexuality, better sex, premature ejaculation, and sexual health for men and women. She works with people of all ages to correlate physical health issues with mental imbalances, and clearly illustrates the power of a smile to heal and maintain health. Her counsel, series of simple meditations and exercises are sought after all across the globe. And for those who want to actually see the work, you can go to her website, www.serenastone.com. She's been with us before, and the last time she was with us, she had so many people were asking me, who is this woman? Gosh, how does she know so much about these things? Because I think everyone has health problems, relationship problems, and I think a lot of people don't have anyone to talk to, because now people's lifestyles are changing so much. People's time is just accelerating, and more time, more worries, more problems. But without further ado, we're going to welcome Serena Stone. It's great to have you again.
Well, that must be the nicest introduction I think I've ever had.
Well, we're being kind to you here. No, you deserve it, really. I think congratulations on all your work.
Thank you.
I know you just came back from Paris to do some workshops. How did that go?
Oh, that was amazing. As a matter of fact, I've already signed on to return at the last weekend of March. People are starting to look at this Inner Radiance, Outer Beauty program, and the ladies, at least in Paris, are really starting to understand you really have to address these different areas of your life to have external beauty. You've got to clean out and be beautiful on the inside. So this time, the first two times I taught at Generation Tao in Paris, it was just a woman's course where we learned how to balance our hormones and address some issues that are just exclusive to women, learn how to balance out dysfunction in the body. And one of the pieces that has stuck out for them both times I've been there is the Chinesan, the abdominal massage. It changes everything. When you know how to do self-massage on your abdomen, all of a sudden all these illnesses they thought they had, yeah, all these problems they thought they had, they just go away. And I'll talk about that more later. But so now I'll go back in March, and I will be teaching my first Chinesan for women course. Because usually it's co-ed, but you know, we're the gals in Paris really like me. So slowly, I'd like to introduce myself to the gentlemen as well. But the ladies are keeping me incredibly busy. I hardly had any time to do anything other than be with my students and clients for 7 days. We didn't see that coming. I got very popular. So next time, I think I better stay for more like 10 or 12 days because I would like to incorporate sleep into the next
time. That's important, really. We have to take care of our bodies and rest at night.
There were people who worked at Generation Dao were sticking their heads in to say, is she really still here?
Gosh, it's commitment.
Yeah, and you know, it's so hard to say no if a lady comes in with an ailment that I know was self-induced and she can transform out with just a little education. It's really hard for me to say no. I do give these abdominal massage treatments, but anybody who's worked with me knows that more than a practitioner, I'm an educator. So these ladies walk out the door and they actually have something to do when they go home and continue this process of detoxification and energizing their bodies. And so at any rate, that was a big long rant, wasn't it?
Well, we need to know all of this because looking at your website, it's great and it has a plethora of information. I definitely recommend anyone to go to the website, your website. And you say that to attain natural health and beauty, physical fitness, and better sexual health, you must address four areas. So what is the big four? What should we be looking out for?
Well, the first area that we have to deal with is the mind or energy work. We use our mind to create and then guide energy to different parts of the body. We use our mind to transform negative situations into positive, starting at an energetic level. So component one is energy work. The other word for that could just be meditation. So, and I'm telling you, none of this stuff works if you can't connect your mind to your body in a positive way. And trust me, I'm from LA, Los Angeles, the capital of plastic surgery and implants, you know, and Photoshop and lighting. And I'm telling you, the truly beautiful men and women, there's something inside of them. If you look at the really wonderful movie stars, they're the people that glow on the inside. I mean, I could mention names, it doesn't really matter. So in my country, and I know out there in England, people really care about how they look. So component number one, if you want to be radiantly beautiful on the outside, you actually have to feel good about yourself. I mean, not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But there needs to be a level of gratitude, respect, appreciation, just on a daily level. And those feelings actually feed the body. Negative feelings, I mean, we could talk forever about what happens to your cells when you're negative for an extended period of time. We create these cells that don't absorb nutrition. The receptors just don't work. This has all been, they talked about this in a book called Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert. I mean, this is science. Sadness, depression, anger, all of those, if there's too much of it, we start to create these cells that just don't absorb nutrition. And then, if you stay that way long enough, they divide and make little horrible cell babies, you know?
Well, that's the thing, because living in a busy city like London, and a lot of busy cities, a lot of people just wake up feeling drained.
Yeah.
We want to know, how do we get more energy? How do we walk around without feeling so tired? Because it seems like now there's just so much. It seems like time is just accelerating.
Yeah.
There's never enough time to get things done in the day.
And the more you go down that rabbit hole, the more disconnected we become from our body and the things that matter. I just posted a blog a couple of hours ago on my website, which is a miracle because I actually don't know how to post a blog, but I did. And I sent it out. This one's actually for the women. And it said, you know, just on a really simple level, your reproductive organs, your bladder, which is not a reproductive organ, but your bladder and your reproductive organs share a space with your intestines. Doesn't it make sense that if your intestines were full of rotting fecal matter, that, you know, this could cause trouble? They're right next to each other. That we already know the pollutants come right out through the small intestines wall into the blood. So wouldn't it make sense that it might take a lot of energy to keep your kidneys and your liver functioning if you have dirty blood and you have all this poison in your body? Doesn't it make sense that all your energy would be going toward survival? Forget having anything extra for your family or your community or radiant health. You're just getting by. Doesn't that make sense? And that's the blog I posted today. I'd like to see who argues.
Right. Well, this, looking at your website, you've got such great information there, which I feel so many people can benefit from. And you talk about digestive health as well, which I think is so important.
And I think
the intestines, you know, we're...
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, I think that's component number 3 on the website is digestive health.
But okay.
Think about it. Now, if component 1 is the energy work. You cannot be a radiantly beautiful man or woman if inside you are an ugly man or woman. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. Maybe in your, you know, late teens, early 20s. But let's face it. As we start to get older, you know, that's going to wear you down. So that's component 1 is the energy work. We must learn how to meditate. It's not brain surgery. Yes, there's some more that are more complicated. But, you know, learning how to smile to your liver, I teach it to kids all the time. Oh, here's a shameless plug. Please check out Chi Family, chifamily.com, because we really do teach children smiling anatomy. And I'm making videos and music. Right now we've got 3 books. Please go and check that out. This is really important work. Okay, so component 1 is energy work. Component 2 actually is the sexual health. And think of, and like I was just saying to the women, your intestines share a space with your ovaries and your uterus. So, you know, let's be clever about this, and it's just time to clean up. I have seen women clean out their intestines, clean up their diet, stop eating things that gives them, you know, inflammatory disorders. Just eat what your body needs for health and energy. And I have seen so much trouble just clear itself up. Hormonal imbalances, painful periods. I mean, it's incredible what the body will do when it's not sick. Okay?
Right. Because a lot of people, they don't feel that health is related to sexuality. Or they don't know. They think, well, it doesn't matter what I do. My sexual health is always going to be optimum.
Yeah. Let's talk to those same people again when they hit about 38 or 40.
Right.
Okay. You know, we know people who do sexual energy work, and they're not fanatics. They're just people that are aware that they have sexual energy and it can be used for health and longevity. We're seeing people out there in their 60s, their 70s, and older that still have sexual vitality. Now, finding a partner may be an issue, but, you know, they're there.
Right. They're there somewhere.
So, and the other thing is, and you know this, because you and I have talked about it more than once, if we harbor negative feelings about intimacy, it connects itself to every other relationship that we have. A relationship is a relationship, okay? And if it's a sexual one, that's special. But we have jobs and families and friends to maintain. And, you know, if you go to school or you go to work or, you know, you have a family or a husband or a wife, you are in relationship. And it does connect itself to our sexual energy. Fear of intimacy is still fear. And excessive amounts of fear really mess up our sex life because especially men get the, right. the bulk of their sexual energy, right, from the kidneys and adrenal glands. So you have to address sexual health. You have to address that there is an emotional component, and that's actually component number three or number four, which is actually just dealing with the emotions of intimacy and relationships. But see, again, it's all connected. I couldn't separate this out.
Right.
You know, I made the four components so everybody understands. Look, there's a practice for making a healthier point of view on intimacy, and there's a practice for grabbing your sexual energy and using it for health and longevity, cleaning it up. But the truth is they go hand in hand, and none of it's going to happen without the meditation. And then, you know, I've been to your country. Shepherd's pie, hello. You know, right. that will kill your intestines after a while.
Right.
And all that stuff.
Well, I think, like, so much is linked into culture, isn't it? Because
Food
is culture. Even sexual practices is part of culture, part of Hollywood. Films are so powerful in changing people's perceptions. Even these stereotypes, a lot of men think women are all of like this. Women think all of men are like this. And they create so much confusion within people.
You know, I went to the African continent for the first time this year. Wow, it's right there. You know, I was in Barcelona and I was teaching, and I had the opportunity to go spend about a week in Fez, I think is where we were, Fez, Morocco. Wow. I mean, you know, there's a reason that I believe that everybody should travel, because we think this is it, whether you live in, you know, England, France, Germany, Spain, any of the Americas, or, you know, Canada. It's everybody thinks that what they've been raised with is what's real.
Right.
That is a shock. You know, oh my goodness.
Right.
I thought, because I don't know, I guess I'm watching inappropriate news media or reading the wrong things. In my head, the women of Morocco covered their head out of some sense of subservience. I could not have been more wrong. I'm so glad I didn't write about it or, you know, speak about it publicly. That has nothing to do with why they cover their head. And, you know, there's a few things. There's, of course, you know, a religious observance. But really, in their country, it's the sexiest part of a woman has nothing to do with her skin. It's her hair. And no self-respecting woman would walk out of the house with her head uncovered and her hair hanging out. They just wouldn't do it. It's too tantalizing. The men can't handle it. Okay? And then they go, the women walk around in groups. And let me tell you, these are some powerful women. You do not want to get in their way. They're very stable, and they had big smiles on their faces, plenty of makeup, you know, beautiful faces, beautiful clothes. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, those who are into it. These are strong women that are a strong part of their culture. And men have their own thing going on. But the story, I love the story about how the hair is the most beautiful part of a woman. I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I never heard that in life. And it really made me realize that everything I see, you know, in some way, I have a judgment on it, that it's good or bad, right or wrong, or at the very least real.
Right.
And that's why I think traveling is good, because it just helps us to ease up a little bit, just pull back on this whole judgment on how things are supposed to be, because that's
right.
definitely changes from country to country.
Well, definitely. I feel that, like you just said, you learn something every time you travel. Some people say the world is like a book, and those that don't travel only read a page. So You know, the more you travel, you just have to really open your mind.
Have you traveled much? I mean, you're right there.
Oh yeah, yeah, well, definitely. I've traveled to most, you know, nearly every continent, except Asia. I've been to Africa, Brazil, America. You know, so many. I see the whole world. That's why I love connecting with so many different people out there, learning from each culture. You just realize that a lot of us, we're still very narrow-minded, and that's why I love your work so much, because you're really showing us as human beings that really there's so many hidden things that we don't know about.
Yeah.
In terms of just the health of the human body. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it doesn't matter, let me just chuck this in my body and it will work fine. You know, and it's like, we wonder why people, our bodies look so degenerate.
Yeah.
You know, people almost look as if they're going to fall apart.
Well, you know, there's that point of view that says, when I die, you know, I want to be real tired. And I'm seeing that. Unfortunately, I'm seeing that in 50-year-olds. I'm seeing that in people in their 40s. And the great thing about what people like you do, you know, which is to share internationally, and what people like I do and my colleagues, is that we get that there are some pieces of being human that are international. The bottom line is, if you're not a happy man or woman, it doesn't really matter where you live, how much money you earn, what your house looks like. If you're not happy on the inside, if you can't feel joy, who cares? I mean, you know, and this is international. And the great thing is there's medicine for that. There's natural medicine for a negative point of view. Well, natural for most people. Some people, okay, you need to go to the doctor and, you know, get a little help. But that's usually short term, usually, for the average person. And, you know, then it helps the person find their place back to joy. And that is, I mean, that's why component number one on the Inner Radiance Outer Beauty program absolutely had to be energy work. We just got to start with that, because I got gals from all over the world, and actually some guys now too, that they hear what my real age is. They see the pictures and think, yeah, hello, Photoshop. Right. And then I show up and I actually look like that woman. Yeah, I look like the woman in the little videos I have on my website and YouTube. That's me. That's me at 46. I'm still making videos. And, you know, I don't think I look 26, but I can certainly pass for 36, okay?
Right. Well, you do look good, and it shows that you're definitely living what you talk about, and I feel that's great, because it shows in your face. You know, you have like a lot of doctors saying eat healthy and they're overweight themselves.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And you know, the thing is that the ladies and gentlemen, they want to know the little secrets. Like, if you look at old videos, you'll see that my hair was all fuzzy. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but just follow the line here. Somebody had posted a video on my Facebook fan page, and I looked at my hair for about 5-6 years ago, just wanted to die, because it's all fuzzy. I'm in Thailand. You know, it's, you walk outside, you see the air. I mean, it's so wet out there. And my hair turns into a big Brillo pad, but I discovered something. I discovered this thing that I've been hearing about for years, which is to stop washing your hair with soap. With those suds, wash all the oils out, and then you're constantly putting your hair into this strange state of dryness, even if you put conditioner on it. And then it just doesn't look right. Well, I finally figured it out, and I do have this secret, but I don't share, and now I have fabulous hair. I love my hair. It's all silky and lovely. But, you know, the thing is, and I've got secrets for the hair, or excuse me, for the skin, and some workout stuff, you know, and all these aesthetic things on the outside. I don't share those with anybody but my advanced students, because I'm telling you, it's not going to work. You know, we're looking at now in Hollywood, oh, God, they're not getting plastic surgery so much. They're getting facial injections, okay? Mm. Now, if you take an ugly woman who's ugly on the inside, I mean, you know, just an unhappy, low self-esteem person, and she's got this horrible sagging skin because she doesn't eat well and she's undernourished, and she doesn't understand how to wash her face and blah, blah, blah. Now you put in a facial filler, and she, I mean, these people like are making children run, you know, they're absolutely horrifying. Okay. So I'm not saying to the ladies and the gentlemen, nah, don't do your facial injection. Don't Botox your eyebrow or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying before you use these little things now that men and women can use, you can't put the cart before the horse. You've got to do the internal work. And that's why the program All right. is actually taking off, because these women are, they are losing their minds. They can't believe a little bit of nutrition, a little bit of meditation. Nobody's asking you to do stuff for 4 hours a day. It's a little change here, a little change there. Clean things up. Balance things out. Then if you want to go get your hair done or a makeover or whatever, go to the gym, you're going to get a much better result. That's really how the whole thing started.
Right. Well, it's like a quick fix, isn't it? A lot of us, we just want the quick fix.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I've realized from your work, you show how, for instance, in a lot of women's sexual health, a lot of the lifestyles of a woman, for instance, when we talk of menstruation, you know, for instance, if a woman is having a lot of blood coming out, she might just feel that's normal because that's what she's been told in society. But then again, there may be other factors which are also causing an overly, you know, heavy menstruation.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just amazing how, like you said in the beginning, with your four areas, everything is connected. and one part is going to affect the other
yes.
part, you know, and it's just amazing how everything is interrelated in that way. But I know you talk of the jade egg practice for the woman, and I find that fascinating in terms of strengthening the PC muscle.
Yes. Yes.
Please go into that for women's sexual health practice.
Well, for my ladies in Paris that are understanding my English without an interpreter, you're about to hear the same speech again. We talked about this extensively in class a couple of weekends ago. There are so many reasons why a woman would want to get herself a jade egg and familiarize herself with the practice. I'm going to start with something that's really common, and that is, this is kind of personal, but it's women who don't enjoy sex. They just don't have a lot of feeling. Now, you know, if we have to deal with emotional issues, okay. But for some women, even as they're dealing with their emotional issues, and they do genuinely care for their partner, they're not making fluids, they don't feel very much, and they don't know their body. They don't know that, you know, if you're going to have an orgasm with someone else, the truth is you should probably figure out how to do that on your own first. Then you can just show them what to do.
Right, now,
a young woman is probably just going to turn white and want to die because I said that. But an older woman, they're just shaking their heads. Yes, that's what they're doing. It's just easier. It's easier to connect if he's not trying to figure you out. Well, if a woman doesn't know her own body, if she doesn't have sensitivity or she's inexperienced, you know, and just understanding how her body works, this makes sex very uncomfortable. So we start our jade egg practice, and it involves breast massage, for example. Woman's going to find out real quick she's got a connection between her nipples and her sexual organs if she just closes her eyes, puts a smile on her face, and begins to massage her breasts. There's a reason you guys start with the breasts. Right? You know it.
Right.
You know it. You can feel the energy just shift. Okay? Well, physically, if we do breast massage long enough, we actually can attain uterine contractions. Now, that's not an orgasm, but it doesn't exactly feel bad either. Okay? It's quite pleasant. So we do these simple little things. And then, of course, learning to squeeze these muscles in the three parts of the vaginal canal. Well, yes, it does bring awareness. The ability to pull an egg up or push an egg down in the vaginal canal, of course it's bringing awareness. but it's also building muscle. And where there is muscle, there are nerves. Where there is muscle, there is blood via capillaries. Where there are capillaries, there is blood plasma. And where there is blood plasma, there is lubricant. I mean, do an egg practice. Just for that reason alone, right. You know, I mean, that must have taken me 20 minutes to talk about that in class. Then there are women who are incontinent. And that means you sneeze or you cough and they wet their pants. It is humiliating, especially for young women. They just had a baby. They have no idea what's going on. Now, they don't want to have sex because they're going to lose their bladder if they relax enough to have an orgasm. This is the killer. This is a sexual killer. So we begin to squeeze these muscles, and it just naturally pulls the bladder up and helps to give about 78% of the women that I work with, it just cures the incontinence in about 60 to 90 days. Sometimes there's something else going on that causes a woman to be incontinent, but and that's not addressed by a purely muscular issue. But so many women, it's purely muscular. They just have to connect themselves. So that's two reasons for the jade egg. And the last one is any woman who does study Inner Radiance Outer Beauty program, eventually you are going to begin to do the sexual energy practices where we take the sexual energy out of ovaries and uterus and circulate it in the body. And then it's used for health and longevity. It is one of the steps. It's an advanced step in completely changing who you are as a woman. Okay?
So people who are taking part in your course, does it matter if it's just one partner or does it have to be a couple that do it? Or, I mean, if one partner knows about all of this and the other one is completely ignorant, I mean, can it still work in a relationship?
Sure. That question comes up in every class I've ever taught about sexual energy. And we have, again, it's a chat that's a little too long for right here, but once you are consciously moving energy between yourself and another person, then there's a level of responsibility that comes with that if the other person has no knowledge. We only share energy with the people that we are invited to share energy with. You are not invited to share energy on a one-night stand. Okay?
Right.
You are invited to have sex on a one-night stand. But you know, you're intuitively, whether you're male or female, if the person that you're with is open to receiving from you and is just naturally giving to you, you just know it on a very human, instinctual level. And then there are ways to share energy with another person. And if they like the way that feels, which would be a good sign, then you can begin to tell them what you're doing. I just wanted to try this thing, and I did it, and you liked it, so let me show you a picture of what I did. You show them a picture of sending energy from your body into theirs and receiving it back. So,
right.
There's ethical ways to do this. And trust me, I have seen the gamut. There is always that guy or gal out there that says, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't care if you like it or not. That is not okay. I'm going to tell you right now, after about 20 years of watching this, you should really take a look at that person that got so upset at the thought of sharing energy on a deeper level. If they get angry or feel betrayed or backed into a cage, after 20 years of watching it, I'm going to tell you every single one of those people had an issue with intimacy. Either they had an issue with intimacy on its own or they had an issue with intimacy with the individual that was trying to share energy with them.
Now, right. Well, it seems that sexuality, especially sex in the mainstream, has become a bit of a joke, a bit of a circus act in terms of even when people talk about sex in an open forum, it seems like a lot of people aren't even ready to talk about it. Properly, you know, we have to do a comedy sketch about it. You know, sex is always a hidden joke about everything in entertainment. But one thing I wanted to ask is that a lot of people say that sex ends when a man ejaculates, and you know, a lot of men confuse. I've heard you say that a lot of men confuse ejaculation with orgasm. Yeah. And I find this fascinating because, you know, a lot of women, they say that, okay, they're dissatisfied with their partner because as soon as, you know, talk about the difference between a man's arousal and a woman's arousal in terms of the yin and yang essence.
Well, you know, there is, you can kind of understand why all the jokes have been created, because trying to get, you know, the two genders together, not just to have sex, but to actually connect and enjoy it. You know, we've had some pretty silly things happen. And one of the things right. that we're always, well, as women, we're always making jokes about, and it's a little sensitive for some of you guys, but it's that piece where they ejaculate really fast, and they, of course, they have the orgasm with their ejaculation, and then unless you're in your 20s, they just lose their erection. Well, and you know, I mean, we all know this, and that happens right. too fast. You know, the woman hasn't had her orgasm and feels, you know, perhaps like she's not done.
Right. She's just, the evening just started. What happened?
Exactly. So, you know, I think the nice way to deal with it is to make jokes. But, you know, if this continues, then it does become an issue. And believe it or not, there are couples that have been together for a very long time, for years, and he can still ejaculate in, you know, a few minutes, and she's still needing, you know, 20 minutes. So I guess to help people understand that, we do talk about yin and yang or fire and water, and just understanding that, you know, a fire can go from zero to huge really fast. But no matter what you do, water, when you combine it with the fire, it's going to take some time to boil. Okay? Mm. Now, if the fire gets huge and then sputters out, we never come to a boil. Now, that's just not nice. And that's the Tao way of, you know, and in the Tao, everything goes back to nature. And you think it's a metaphor, but actually the more deep I dive into Taoism, the more I understand this is not a metaphor. It's real. A lot of these, the ways of being and how much we are like nature. So, yes, there are practices now just to help men understand that your ejaculation and your orgasm are clinically two separate bodily functions. You can have as many orgasms as you care to have, and if you don't ejaculate, you will sustain an erection. The purpose of sustaining the erection is for pleasure, is for connection with someone else or pleasuring yourself, whatever it is that you're doing, okay? But you've got to learn how to separate the two. And actually, as with all things Tao, that's actually not the first step for guys. The first step for guys is being ready to do that. Because if you're emotionally imbalanced, this practice will mess with your head like you wouldn't believe. Because you're going to learn, you're going to keep the energy inside your body eventually. You're not going to ejaculate it out. You're going to keep that energy in the body. And frankly, you can learn to reverse the orgasmic contractions. So you orgasm and it just automatically goes up inside the body. You have a full body orgasm. You can train yourself to do that in just a few months. It's not brain surgery. But what is brain surgery is the meditation or energy work required to be a balanced enough man to do that and grow balance instead of imbalance. So I need to mention that just for you guys that think you're only going to do the sexual component, you know. And so,
right.
Yeah, we have some disconnection between men and women, but we always have. And with a little conversation, we can, you know, couples can communicate with each other about fire and water, yin and yang, you know. And some men do discover that they love that part of intimacy where they're connecting with their partner. It isn't all about the big O, you know.
Right, right. Well, with your energy work, I find fascinating your qigong. On the last time, you know, we talked about how the breath is very important. And I've read sometimes somewhere where sect is just an act of respiration. And when we talk of energy work, the qi, which is the breath, the prana in the air, you know, how important do you feel it is for all of us to have clean air around in terms of just creating more circulation within the body? Because a lot of us, you know, we go through the whole day without even taking a deep breath.
Yes.
You know, and babies, they breathe from, you know, right their stomach. You know, a lot of us, we have very shallow breathing as adults. So,
well, you know, it's, I mean, again, here's a weekend workshop, which I think I'm doing in the middle of February in New Orleans. They can't decide if they want the female class or Chine Sung. They want both. So New Orleans in 2012, if you guys are listening, I will probably be there at least twice so I can teach these. I, as a Chine Sung person, practitioner and teacher, I simply cannot do my job effectively until the person learns how to breathe. Half the time, all I'm doing is holding my finger on a muscle group that is contracted. And while the person breathes and pushes out against that area and then relaxes, 2 to 4 breaths, focusing on an area of tension, usually relieves the tension by at least 40 to 60%. That is without me getting in there and doing any kind of manual manipulation. Stressed muscles, like your diaphragm muscle that separates the lungs and the stomach and the liver, okay, when the muscles get stressed and they get real tight, they sort of pull up and they pull the whole body out of whack. If this diaphragm muscle, right, that I'm talking about in the ribs, when that thing gets tight, breathing into the belly becomes almost impossible. And that's why adults breathe into their chest, because they're a little too uptight. The babies, before they get crazy, they breathe into their belly. It's just natural. So to help us, for example, with stress, and I'm talking about stress in the mind, okay, and stress in the body, we do the abdominal breathing, which pushes that particular diaphragm muscle down. To push your stomach out, you have to stretch that diaphragm muscle and push it down. This is the opposite direction that it goes when we have an anxiety attack, and it gets very tight. It goes, it sort of pulls up. Okay, that's what an anxiety attack is. And when you feel that, I can't breathe, and you feel that weird feeling in the solar plexus and chest, that's your diaphragm muscle seizing on you. You can't breathe, right, you can't right. do anything, and it feels like panic. And you should panic. Your aorta goes through there. Okay, so, right. Gosh, I mean, and that's just starting with the basics, you know. I'd love to pull in a physician on one of these conversations as we dive and talk about the importance of oxygenating your blood. I mean, how different would we feel, look, you know, or be if we actually had the proper amount of oxygen in our blood? I'd right. love to hear what a specialist has to say about that. So, right. I mean, that's just the basics.
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, really, your website, you have such a wide archive of information. Yeah. And what are some of the challenges for you in this kind of work that you face? Is there anything or that big challenges which you say, oh my gosh, you know, this is very difficult to deal with? I mean, in terms of dealing, working with different people from all different kinds of walks of life.
Sure. You know, there's a joke. When you're a public speaker of any kind, it just seems like no matter where you are, there's always got to be that man or that woman it's going to give you a hard time and argue with everything you say. right?
Right.
And, you know, and it doesn't really matter what I say. These people, you know, no, the microcosmic orbit should go the other direction. Okay, fine. Have yours go the other direction. And I just try to let them, you know, do their own thing. But, you know, then, oh, no. Now I want to hear you say that the microcosmic orbit should go the other direction. No, you're never going to hear me say that because that's not my experience and that's not what I teach. But if you want to take what I teach you and, you know, form it into something that you could personally use, then have a party. I have also been known to say, hey, look over there. It's the door. Maybe you should use it. The challenge is that people who come to courses like mine or lectures like mine, we sort of set up this magical safe space where miracles can happen. And the more we believe in these miracles, the more the molecules move and we start to see things happen very quickly. And one seed of doubt can really take a person down. I mean, I've actually read texts of Wallace Wattles, who in the 1920s, I think, wrote the book, The Science of Getting Rich. He's very, very clear. Do not read negative material. Do not sit with people who tell you you can't do this. Eventually, it begins to wear you down and your reality begins to shift as you wonder if they're speaking a truth that is more true than yours. So when I have these people that they just don't want to take responsibility, that's usually what it comes down to. They want to be victimized. They want to argue with me when I say, you created this reality. Now, if you like it, keep it. If you don't, let's fix it. You know, they don't want to be told that they're responsible. So they start to argue. And again, I give them their space and then I say, like I said, look over there, it's the door, you know, you should right. use it.
Well, generally, I feel that your work is really, you know, there's hardly any people out there which are doing the kind of work you're doing. And it's just very inspiring just to see how this information is available, you know, that someone is like you are delving into this kind of work and really exploring it. When we talk of libido as well, a lot of people say that, you know, a man has a lot of sexual energy. Men are always hungry and women have almost shut down their sexuality. Do you feel that's to do with culture? Do you think that sort of shapes a woman's attitude towards sex?
Well, first of all, I don't agree with the statement. You see, women are hungry too, but we're hungry about 15 minutes after you guys are.
Right.
You just need a little patience, you know, buy me a flower, tell me I'm pretty, you know, appeal to my mind. My biggest sexual organ is my brain. You know, it might really be a turn on if you just took the garbage out. I really think that statement is a real scary place for either sex to live in. Be careful. Just be careful when believing that. It's really more about connection. And, you know, one of the things I think we've lost in our culture, it really actually does matter who you connect with. It does. I know after watching, I don't even know, hundreds of couples now, you know, because I write books on romantic intimacy. After interviewing and watching hundreds of couples, the truth is, and you don't have to like it, but some people really do just inspire each other to a more healthy space. You can put a crazy woman together with, you know, some guys, all the guys she's ever met, and she's just allowed to run her game and gets more and more dysfunctional. And then one day she meets Big Daddy, and he says, oh, honey, you're so full of crap, but I love you anyways. I think you're an amazing person. And boom, it'll shift her energy. And I've seen the same with men. Bad, bad boys out there whose sexual energy is just out of control. And then they fall in love with somebody. and everything changes, and they aspire to something better for themselves and their new idea of family. Sexuality at that moment dramatically changes. Now she's not just a place to, you know, stick himself to get sexual gratification. This is a woman that he wants to connect with. He may find holding hands with her and watching a movie is a lot more satisfying than with that woman that he just can't wait to take home so he can have sex with. Okay, really, though, I think that's one of the things that we've missed in our landscape of intimacy and sexuality is it does matter. Some people just connect in a more peaceful way. And I don't think anybody out there who's interested in partnership should give up until they find the person with whom they like themselves with. That's what you're looking for. Who do I spend time with when I actually like myself? What friends, what family members, what lover or lovers? You were always putting this off on the other gender, and that's just going to go nowhere. We're going to be chasing our tails for all of eternity.
Right. Well, you know, coming back to the glow, which you said, you know, the inner radiance, outer beauty, which I find is so fascinating, because I know exactly what you're talking about, because certain people, you just look at them and it's almost like a magnet. They just sort of attract you to them. And it's like, gosh, you know, what do they have inside of them? And it's just amazing that you actually mentioned that, because I feel that a lot of us, we're still so concerned with the outside appearance, and so many people have low self-esteem issues because of that. And you know, with this glow, the inner radiance, how important do you think is just general exercise? And because I know that in a lot of the Eastern practices, they focused on internal exercise as opposed to external.
Well, now I'm just trying to think of the quickest way.
Right, you can just answer it with one word or two
words.
You can't have
true external beauty without, you know, this inner radiance. I mean, you know, I am going to mention a name because I think she's from your country. One of my heroes is an actress named Helen Mirren. You know who she is?
Yeah.
She's a goddess in my book. Just a goddess. First, she is very pretty, okay? But she's not, you know, Hollywood pretty. She's beautiful because she's an educated, kind-hearted, amazing woman. She's very creative. And yeah, okay, she's easy on the eyes. Her figure at her age is ridiculous. It's amazing, okay? But there's something about Helen that, God, I mean, what woman wouldn't want to be just like her? She's open. She's out there. She is beautiful on the inside. She is clearly expressing herself in her different roles, picking roles that are creative. You know, she's been married forever. I mean, wow. That is an example of someone that doesn't need me at all, I have to tell you. You know, I guess that's the best way I can come.
Right. Well, I definitely understand what you're talking about, really, because I feel certain people, it's almost like do you think some people naturally have that, or do you think that they've consciously are working towards it, or do you think that certain people are just very in tune with who they are as a person?
Yes, all the above. Some people, you know, just were raised by lovely parents in an environment that had very low stress, and they were taught love and support, and that's what they take, that's what they go into the world with. It's what they expect, and therefore it's what they get. And now we have this movement around the globe for men and women to become self-actualized. And what we've all come to the same conclusion, you can't do it if you hate being alive. Okay? I mean, it just doesn't work. You can talk about it till you're blue in the face and nothing is going to change. You've got to be, there's got to be a level of emotional balance and stability and the ability to feel and generate joy, love, you know, gratitude. I mean, it has to happen because we're manifesting our reality 24/7. So, yeah, now we have all these people that started out kind of screwed up. Can I say screwed up? Well, I just did.
Of course. You could say anything you want.
Right. Because sometimes I do.
Please, no censorship here.
Okay. At any rate, you know, we've all discovered from all the different modalities of natural health that it starts inside. Every single group around the world that's doing natural health agrees, including, by the way, our Western doctors, that being in love can heal you and having a broken heart can kill you, because we've seen it for centuries. So how can anybody be so stupid as to think that you can maintain throughout your whole life this beautiful glow when inside you feel like crap? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, that's that makes sense, actually, because I think there's a lot of us, we're so busy just trying to please people most of the day, people rushing to work and what have you. And I think a lot of us, we feel we're inadequate.
Yes.
So that probably reflects on the inside as well. But, you know, I definitely commend you for your work, because you definitely opened up my eyes and the Infinite Waters Radio family's eyes to a lot of things. And who inspired you? Where did you get this inspiration to say, okay, this is what I want to do? Even now, where do you draw your inspiration from? Because you've been doing it for so long, is there a day where you just say, you know what, I don't want to help people anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to go off and just live in a village, a remote village, and just forget about everyone and just focus on, just do me and, you know, live my own life and whatever.
Yeah.
What makes you want to continue doing what you do?
I think there's a couple factors. To answer your first question, my first and main inspiration is my teacher, Master Muntak Chia. I'll never be able to repay him for all the kindnesses that he's extended to me, my students, and all of his students. He's brought information in a digestible format that before only emperors and their sages had access to. So he's really my inspiration, and he continues to be. I just saw him in Paris, and it's just always so funny, you know, to see him. I forget how powerful that guy is. I mean, he's really the master of his own chi, I got to tell you. He's something else. So there's that. And then there's all these different people that I've met. Well, I have never met Helen Mirren, but she's an inspiration. There's a lot of inspirations out there. I mean, my students, my friends, my family. I am inspired by anybody who has the bravery to step outside of what they've been taught and make their life great. And I don't see it every day. And sometimes I go so many days without seeing it that you're absolutely right. I just say, well, I don't want to do this anymore. I think I'll sit in my bed and play stupid computer games. And then I don't know. And then it gets boring, and I miss my connection with humanity. I guess it's just, you know, everybody's got their reason for being down here. And what makes me feel good is to be of service. So I don't really go that long.
Well, I can definitely say you're doing a grand job, and keep it up, because I've learned a lot. And, you know, you've been with us a couple of times here on Infinite Waters, and every show we're just diving into something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, really and truly, I definitely feel your work is one of a kind, and everyone should really head over there. The information is on the site, www.serenastone.com. But as we wind down the show, the 60-minute show, please just tell us about any upcoming events you have, where the listeners can get your information, any upcoming courses you have, and anything you want to leave us
with? First of all, the best place to find out what I'm doing is to go to Sarina, S-A-R-I-N-A, Stone, sarinastone.com. On the front page, there's the calendar. The other thing, and I'm on Facebook, too. I've got a professional page and a personal page. Look up Sarina Stone or Dao, T-A-O, Lady, and you'll find me. Come on up and be my friend. But I think what I want to leave you, all of the listeners with is this. If you go to my website on that front page over on the right side, you can download the first meditation as an MP3 right for your iPod or computer, the Inner Smile. And it's just something that you listen to. It's free. Now, I am going to ask you, please, for your first name and your email address. And someday, if I ever decide to send out a newsletter, you'll get one. Right now, I'm not actually using it. but when you do that, you get another email, and it tells you how to download the Inner Smile for free. Get started. And, I mean, there's even a tab on the website that says Get Started, and it'll tell you, start with the Inner Smile. So do it. It's free.
Right. Well, on your website, I love how you put the different sounds. And when we talk of sound healing, music is so powerful. I think music is it's almost like a universal language. It's, you know, a lot of us, we have a soundtrack to our lives. You know, some people have all kinds of songs playing on in their mind at any given time of the day. We have love affairs with singers in our minds that we're inspired by. And when we talk of just health and sound, you know, with the six healing sounds that you were talking about on your website, how can one actually use them to, you know, incorporate health within their own
life? Let's make this easier. Anybody out there, start with the Inner Smile. If you like it, then you're going to graduate up to the six healing sounds. Just try it. Just try it, and you'll understand, because we certainly don't have time for a weekend workshop on the power of sound.
Right. Well, that's the thing. We can only dive, you know, we can only take a few dives and then that's it.
Hey, you know what? You're invited to contact me again in a couple of months. And why don't we take your audience through the Inner Smile and six healing sounds?
That sounds great, really. Well, I would definitely appreciate that because I feel your knowledge, your wisdom, and a demonstration is what we need sometimes, a practical.
Yeah. So, we'll invite everybody to come and have a free class, you know, a free audio class online. Oh, it would be really fun.
Wow. Well, thanks very much for that. And really, we're winding down. We do 60-minute shows here. But really, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule just to dive deep into infinite waters and really just share your information, which I feel is so needed at this point in time, because it just seems like time is accelerating. It just seems that time is speeding up. Maybe time has always been speeding up. It depends what you're doing,
yeah.
Doesn't it? But definitely thank you so much for diving with us. And everyone can check out the website. It's on the site, www.sarinastone.com. And are you gonna be in London anytime soon? Where's your next place of travel? I think you said it was gonna be someplace in America.
Well, it is. I think I'm gonna go down to New Orleans, because I like to go to the oyster bars, okay?
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, I am scheduled to teach in Paris the last weekend of March. It's like the 31st and the 1st or something like that, 1st of April. You and I will continue talking. You're just a short plane ride away. We'll talk. Maybe I'll pop into London. I have family and friends there. It wouldn't hurt to have a visit.
Right. Well, Sarina, I hope you have a great rest of the day. I hope it's not too busy. No, I'm joking.
There's a lady coming in now that can't bend her leg. So you're absolutely right. I need to go prepare.
Right. Well, thanks so much. And yes, anyone else, you can check out the previous shows in the archive on the site. But we will be diving into infinite waters again with more great guests. But till then, don't forget to question everything and continue to dive deep into infinite waters. I've been your host, Ralph Smart. We will be back once again, diving deep as usual. Peace.
Infinite Waters Radio.